Today's episode of the Dirty Sports Podcast is brought to you by Chill Boys, the official underwear sponsor of our show. Chill Boys, comfort where it counts. Dirtballs, the summer is right around the corner. You do not want disgusting underwear with holes in them. Nasty underwear. You need to get yourself a fresh new pair from our friends at Chill Boys. They have such a great variety. The bamboo boxers, the performance boxers, the boxer briefs. It's time to upgrade your undies, boys. Use discount code DIRTY20 at chillboys.com to save 20% on your first order. That's DIRTY20, DIRTY20, to save 20% at chillboys.com. Let's start the show.
Welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast. I said, welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast with Andy Ruther and Joe Prano. Welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast.
Welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast. I am your host, Andy Ruther, coming to you live from Cincinnati, Ohio, with my co-host from Los Angeles, California, Joey No Chill Prano.
Good evening, Andy.
It's the Wednesday night live show.
I know most people listen to this on audio, but if anybody watches this on YouTube, the beginning that just, I thought I was having an aneurysm for a second. I was like, why am I hearing Andy's voice twice simultaneously? I thought I was having a stroke. So I'm glad I'm fine, and great way to start the episode. Wednesday night. I enjoy the Wednesday night evenings because the Wednesday evening apps, because I've got a Miller Lite cracked here, wet my palate as we discuss all things sports and otherwise.
We got a good show today. I shouldn't say that 2 minutes in. I think we have a good show today.
Yeah. Andy, we are the show. So we always have a good show.
True.
Topics, who cares? You know, we're just going to do our thing.
Yeah. That's the best part. I got some good feedback about last episode from a lot of people.
Shut up and podcast.
Homeboy's gone dark, Joe.
Homeboy's gone dark.
Like, he's gone dark. The overwhelming consensus, and by that I mean 100%. I haven't heard a single person agree with that call about slew dubba 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 dub, rubba dubba dub, whatever his name is. I have not heard a single person call in or DM,
stick to sports,
or tweet and be like, yeah, I think you guys should 100% stick to sports.
I mean, I know we've seen a massive drop in ratings, so maybe the people that wanted us to stick to sports are just gone.
Yeah, you think that's it?
No, I'm kidding. We haven't seen a massive drop in ratings. No, no sporting show or league has seen a massive drop in ratings due to not sticking to sports. It's all just five American flags on the internet that want to swear that it has.
Well, I mean, there has been some rating drops. That's not necessarily true. The debate or discussion would be, how are they gathering the numbers and the ratings? I think that is
right. And also the question of, you know, does it have anything to do with anything? Because baseball's been apolitical and their ratings are a disgusting turn for baseball. Golf has remained completely on the side of it, and literally no one watched the Masters. So, you know, it's all.
Yeah, but I do think there has been some drop in ratings on certain sports, but also no one's doing, I'm going to sound really nerdy. No one's doing this from like a scientific experiment. There's always a variable. I mean, this is true though. Like, the variable would be there's that many more streaming things to watch or show. I'm serious.
Right.
It's kind of like, I was watching this. It was a fascinating video I saw on Vox about measuring the vaccines and what was effective. And they were showing that it's not, Pfizer one was supposedly 95% and the Moderna was 94%. And the one vaccine, Johnson & Johnson, which is only one shot, was 66. But they showed that's misleading, because when they ran the test for the other two, it's when there was way less cases. So when they were testing people with the vaccines, also in the placebo. Anyway, my point is, that would be a factor just in everything, whether it's sports ratings or a TV show's ratings. You see my point. Very yes. Nerdy. Like I said, I probably lost all the listeners, but.
And also Ben Shapiro told me that the Johnson & Johnson one, they give you a Black Lives Matter Band-Aid after you get it. So that obviously it's cutting their ratings down drastically.
I don't know what he has to do with this, but I did get my first vaccine.
Congratulations.
I'm publicly gonna announce that. So one down, one to go. Never have I been so excited to get a vaccine.
Congratulations.
Thank you. One more to go, and we're gonna do this. Then I'm gonna be in the clear to just have unprotected sex with every girl. I'm kidding. Yeah,
not that kind of vaccine.
I'm kidding. I'm telling you, man, am I hyping it up too much? Roaring 20s, part two. It's happening.
Part two.
we're bringing it back. I'm going to dress like I'm from 1920s. I'm going to go out to Kings Island.
You're going to become a waiter at Flappers?
I was just going to ask, how did they dress in the 1920s?
Yeah, that's how they dressed.
That's how they dressed?
Yeah.
I saw Kings Island is hiring. What if I just went full throttle and was like, dude, side gig.
Kings Island has never gotten so much free press.
I know.
I used to remember when I used to talk about what is now our official sponsor, Miller Lite, the best sponsor we ever had. I used to just give them free pub, and you're like, take it easy. This has become presented by Kings Island at this point.
Yeah, I agree. I got to tone it down. So I'm going to try to pull back the reins on that. Especially with the great show that we have, so many great discussions, Joe. So many great calls.
Where do we even start? I honestly don't even know where we start. I didn't look at the rundown. I only opened it to add a couple things to it.
Makes me feel good. It still makes me feel good. Do you care about my feelings? Do you care? Do you just tell me that to make me hurt inside?
I just care about the show being good. And sometimes, you know, there certainly hasn't been a Vox scientific study on whether or not the show's better or worse, depending on when I or don't read the rundown. So until we have that for sure figured out, we're just going to stick with whatever suits us on any given day.
Why don't we start with a hot topic, which we have not discussed yet. And Tug was asking us about it the other day. Multiple dirtballs have DM'd me. Why haven't you talked about it yet? I was wanting things to play out a little more, but let's just jump into the Deshaun Watson thing.
Okay. I was golfing yesterday, and when I was done with golf, I saw 29 new unread text messages, and I was like, oh God, something bad must have happened. Turns out it was just you and Tug in some sort of two-man devil's advocate argument where no one would say what they were wanting to say, but you were somehow arguing different sides to the Deshaun Watson case. At that point, I was like, I don't even know what I would jump in on because I don't know who's on what side here or what's happening. But I'll say one thing about the Deshaun Watson case. For those people who haven't heard yet, he's been accused of sexual assault by, you know, tens of women at this point. I mean, what's the total up to?
16 lawsuits have been filed against
16
Watson.
Lawsuits. So let me start by saying we talk about the NFL and all the different sports leagues and how they handle things and whatever. Now, I know the NFL is out of season, but I feel like this would be bigger news. And I feel like this would be something we would be talking about more if it were any league besides the NFL. The NFL does a great job protecting their players, protecting their stars. They always have. They always will. If they have evidence, they burned it. If they have tapes, they burned them. You know, they've probably threatened the police officers and lawyers and whatever at this point. Whether these, you know, accusations hold validity or not, the NFL is out there, you know, doing some spy shit, making sure, you know, people are getting roughed up over this stuff. Because I'll be honest, the NFL does a good job of shoving these stories down your newsfeed. And I honestly think that the NFL, you know, we always talk about the biases of the media and what the media wants you to hear and what the media doesn't. I think the NFL does a great job of controlling the media and being like, ESPN, this doesn't have to be front page news. This shouldn't be the first splash picture when you go to the website. This shouldn't trend on Twitter. I think the NFL does a great job of that. And I kind of agree with our callers and with Tug and with whatever, which is, how have we not talked about it? Well, we haven't talked about it because we're busy and we've got shit going on, and the NFL does a great job putting this, you know, below the fold, as they say.
I've actually been following it like day to day pretty closely. Okay. Doesn't make me an expert, but I've had a lot of discussions with my brother. We'll text about it every day. And again, I know people are going to say this is lame, Arthur, because I'm not taking a stance really on this, because things need to play out more for me.
Well, I don't even really necessarily think that there's a stance to take. It's news, whether it is proved right, proved wrong, proved whatever. It's news that he's being accused of it. It's definitely major football news that
it's serious. I mean, we're talking. I don't know the definition of serial. You know, you talk about serial killers or serial rapist, or to me, this would be serial, right? Like, yeah, we're talking 16 civil lawsuits. So that would be my first thing that I find very, I don't know if the word is peculiar, but not a single criminal filing has happened. And that's important for me personally. You know, this is one of those issues where people are going to side with their tribe, or like, you see what I'm saying? And I'm trying to just look at everything. And that's where I want to start.
Things for Deshaun Watson right now is he doesn't have a tribe. He has kind of, you know, he separated himself from the Houston Texans. We can get into, you know, conspiracy involving this coming up just after he demands a trade and blah, 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 blah. But like right now, I mean, the thing is, I'm not fast to like call the guy guilty, but I'm also very quick to be like, hey man, where there's smoke, there's fire. 16.
I agree.
And then, you know, I know you have brought up some of the facts. You've been in this deeper than I have, but there's two sides to every story. Like the fact that one girl has claimed that she had never given a massage before. Okay. So then like, you're like, what is it? But then, you know, kind of the flip side of that is like Deshaun Watson is a major NFL. Like, why is he getting massages from people who don't give massages?
Well, look,
this whole thing was he just hiring prostitutes under the guise of massage?
And that, I think that's an angle I'm willing to explore, to be honest. I think there's a lot of things at play here. It's again, I hate it's one or the other. Why can't it be a bunch of things? Why can't he be a creeper, or maybe he's sexually assaulting people? But also, like you said, are some of these girls call girls? I mean, one of the plaintiffs straight up said she had never done a massage before and thought that his behavior was normal. She didn't know about the sweetest massage, so she didn't know what was proper and improper. Like, to me, that's bizarre.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
It's
never
absurd.
Given a massage before. Meanwhile, you're showing up to give us. You just brought up Swedish massage. So then you give up, like, whether you've given a massage before or not, unless you are a trained masseuse, like in school for a massage, which I believe is a pretty long, you know, process. They're definitely not being like, yeah, also that's where you may or may not, depending on what the client needs, fingers, butthole. Like, that's not like, it's not part of the Swedish massage at all, for sure.
Yeah.
I've never given a Swedish massage, but I can tell you with 100% certainty, it doesn't involve a hand job. So
again, that's just one of 16. And then you have all these other things that, like, I don't know if you saw the pre-ejaculate.
I saw nothing.
Like, then we have a whole thing of maybe he just comes easily. The one girl said she was given a massage and he just like came, which then makes me think, well, was that sexual assault, or does he just come easily? Because I knew a dude in college who came a stripper was dry humping him, you know, he came his pants.
Old Sticky Pants McGee.
Yeah, old Sticky Pants McGee. I know exactly who that was. And he was so embarrassed, he got drunk and admitted. But look, again, there's a lot of factors in play. And then you have the lawyer of the plaintiffs last week claimed the Houston PD had contacted him. And they straight up tweeted out and said, no, we haven't.
Right.
So you have a lot of he said, she said. And on top of that, when this started, Joe, this all started for anyone who's followed it. The lawyer, Tony Busby, shady name, by the way. What is this? Better Call Saul. Tony Busby was leaking the information on his personal Instagram. And this is what I said to both you and Tug on that text exchange. Again, I'm not saying that these aren't truths and that these didn't happen. But when you're talking about sexual assault, you're talking about an extremely serious crime, especially in today's age, right? You're going to
in any age. Yeah.
But my point is it's heightened more now with Me Too and the Time's Up and all the movements. You're going to leak this on your personal Instagram.
Well, listen, the lawyer, you know, whatever his, you know, like a lawyer doesn't necessarily like, let's say this guy gets all these people together and then files criminal charges against Deshaun Watson. And then he goes to jail. That lawyer, unless he's trying to make a name for himself being the sexual assault guy and get a whole lot of clients, he didn't make himself any dough there. Now, pressing a lot of civil suits and being like, look, if there's, you know, truth to this, maybe there's other people he did this out there for. And now he gets, you know, a class action lawsuit style thing where he's like, listen, I'm taking 10% of everybody. I mean, we go back to follow the money. You know what it seems like his strategy here is to make some dough off of this, make some dough for all these women. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it didn't happen just because he's trying to, you know, they might just have a bad lawyer right now who's like, you know, getting charges like this to stick pretty hard. I think your better route is a civil suit, get paid for it, move on with your life. Don't get your name dragged through the mud with a court case and blah, 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 and whatever. And he just signed a big deal and he'll probably pay you. And the more people we have. And my point is, I don't think any creepy scumbag lawyer's action necessarily says what is or isn't happening with the women themselves.
Fair point. But there's a lot of shady stuff on all sides.
And unfortunately, you know, again, thanks to the PR machine that is the NFL, I've seen the headlines, but they haven't been like, again, I haven't gone to the, it's never been the front page story on ESPN.
You know why? I mean, I don't want to say ESPN hasn't addressed it. I've seen it on their shows. I've seen a couple clips. I've seen them address it on SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt.
You know, I saw, and I'm not going to name names again, cause I'm sick of bringing up certain people that are just, in my opinion, the literal worst people in the media. But like, I saw people be like, when Peyton Manning did this, people were, it was all over the fucking place. But now when it's a black quarterback, it's like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. If this happened to LeBron James tomorrow, it is everywhere. If this happens to Kevin Durant tomorrow, it is everywhere. If this happens to Mike Trout tomorrow, it is everywhere. The NFL does a good job of fucking scaring the media into being like, you know, let's just wait and see. Let's wait and see, guys.
No, I
really think this is more about the NFL. And by the way, Peyton Manning was out of the NFL before his shit came out. And also Peyton Manning is a different level of famous than Deshaun Watson. This is not a black and white thing. This is an NFL thing.
Well,
100%.
I also think part of that is these are coming so quick, so fast, and so many. You know, in the civil lawsuit, I just read, so they did label him a serial predator. So what I was saying earlier makes sense. But I think it's coming so hard out of left field that it's making a lot of people do what I'm doing and saying, I want to see this. You see my point? Like, it's not one incident. It's not two. We have 16 now.
Right.
One's as recent as within the last month or two.
But I got to say, that move, that smells a lot. The first thing that reminds me of, Bill Cosby.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
One chip fell,
that.
And then 90 women came out. It's like, where were you all? And they were all like, just fucking here, thinking Bill Cosby was weird to me one time. And now that I've heard her story, I realize Bill Cosby's a serial rapist. I mean, we went from 0 to 100 real quick.
We did, literally 100+ with him.
So, you know, listen, I have not done what you have done and dug deep on this thing, but there's also the whole thing of, you know, who's leaking it? Why are they leaking it? There's this, you know, the Houston Texans at this point have to realize he ain't going to play for them. He, you know, and honestly, why do you say that? Why would you? Because he basically demanded a trade. We're now in the player empowerment era. He's a valued commodity in the NFL. The idea that they leaked it, well, if you're going to have to deal him one way or the other, you don't want him to have low value. You want him to have high value.
What about other teams wanting to lower his value?
To me, that just seems like it seems to me to be a very high risk, low reward thing for like the Jets to have some guy in their organization who's starting a fraudulent 16-person sexual assault campaign against Houston in hopes that they don't have to give up their first round. Like, there's a lot. I mean, you know, I'm a conspiracy theorist, but that's a lot of moving parts to be a random team out there that thinks you have a shot at him. Like,
I agree.
Do the Carolina Panthers have a guy on their staff whose job it is to do you know, there's a lot easier things to do than say. And by the way, if somebody did, then maybe somebody in the know knew he was doing this. And it was like, yo, I know how we can make this happen.
I agree that it's a lot of moving parts, but I'll reiterate what I said in our text exchange. This is a business. Deshaun Watson himself is a big business. We're talking, you know, he's worth a lot of money. 150 million plus contract wise. Nothing would surprise me. It doesn't mean that this is happening and there's a major conspiracy, but all I'm saying is nothing would surprise me.
I always think about business. When you think about the conspiracy and the, you know, what's the phrase I'm thinking about? The cloak and dagger approach, like the black, like to me, let's say you are, first of all, again, let's say the Jets, because you know, the Jets are out there based in the fucking, like if there was a team whose geography alone put them around the kind of people who are like, hey, you want to fucking get Deshaun Watson? We can get fucking Deshaun Watson. I got fucking strippers in Houston. They can fucking say he fucking, you know, sexually assaulted them. Like, let's say it's the Jets. Like, it seems to me, if you're going to do this blackmail, you like, why even do this? Why don't you just call up Houston and be like, listen, we got reports that this guy, he was jacking it off on masseuses all the time. So before we leak that, why don't we just come to a deal here before his value's any lower? Like the idea that this is a grand conspiracy by somebody to lower his value in the media by like, it's just so much.
I agree. It's crazy.
Where do you get 16 people to buy into this?
Like I said, nothing. I don't know, man. Like, don't you think the timing though?
Tony Busby did 9/11. If that's what fucking, you know what I mean? Like, geez.
Don't you think the timing is pretty crazy?
Yeah, I do.
This all comes out after this back and forth that has been going on with the Texans now for months. And we almost felt like we were at a stalemate. And then boom. One lawsuit, 2, 3, 4, 5. Shit, we're up to 16.
I think a better conspiracy than somebody like that, that like the timing is, you know, maybe somebody involved in his life that facilitated this kind of thing or profited from this kind of thing. I don't know, his, you know, whatever, at the prospect of him leaving Houston is like, yo, my fucking hand job cash cow's going out the door. Fuck this dude. Like, I think the timing of it coming right around when he's wanting to get traded is like, how does him wanting to get out of Houston, how did that maybe set somebody off that was like, I know he did this and now's the time to fuck. Maybe the, you know, maybe the guy who is his masseuse pimp is a big Texans fan. And he's like, we're going to have Sam Darnold? Fuck you, dude. This was not part of our deal. Part of our deal wasn't me getting you, you know, sexual massages, and now you leave me with fucking Sam Darnold.
I mean, look, there are so many questionable things here. I agree. Why is Deshaun Watson a franchise quarterback, a top 5, 6, 7, wherever you want to put him, 8 quarterback in the NFL? Why is he inviting girls from Instagram to give his massages?
Right.
Dude, if I'm Deshaun Watson and I'm worth $150 million, I'm going to the best masseuse in town.
Why is Chris D'Elia Instagram messaging teenagers? You know, guys are creeps.
But that's my point. So there's a lot of questionable things in play here. And who says, you know, the Houston PD says you didn't contact us? I don't trust anybody. What if he did? What if the Houston PD is lying? This is my point. Right. Is this is going to be a great Lifetime series when it all plays out? Who's going to play Deshaun Watson? It's the question. When this comes to TV or Netflix,
Denzel's kid,
John David Washington.
Yeah, he's the one.
Yeah.
He's a former football player, as I read in every single profile of him. We get it. He played football.
Yeah, he did. And he was on Ballers, which, woo, Nelly.
Yeah.
That show struggled. Okay.
I'm going to leave, like, before we wrap that up, I'm going to, again, I haven't done the deep dive you did, but I'm just going to go, 16's a lot, guy.
Like, it is a lot.
It's hard to wrangle up 16 full-blown liars.
Do you see my point, though, that it could be a combination of things?
Sure.
Like, he can be sexually assaulting girls. You also could be a prostitute. It doesn't make it okay.
There's a lot of moving parts here. I'm just going to say 16's a lot.
I agree. I'm not going to argue with that. 16 is a lot. There's a lot of things at play. Who's playing Busby? That's what I want to know. Speaking of play, who is playing Busby in the show?
I haven't seen a picture of Busby, but I think the question at this point becomes, who is Tug playing?
Tug can play Busby.
Tug's playing Sam Darnold. we're gonna have to do one of those like tricky Kevin Costner things where we have to flip the Tug's gonna be doing all his shots in a reversed jersey, so that when we flip it, he's a right-handed Sam Darnold.
I want Tracy Morgan as his pimp.
Or is Tug playing Brian Hoyer?
He's like
standing on the sideline with a clipboard the whole time, being like, I know too much.
I like Tug as Sam Darnold. Yeah, and it's a better match. It makes a little more sense. Well, another scandalous NFL news, at least I would call it scandalous. Dan Schneider is supposedly going to buy the minority shares, the 40%. Dude, it's so funny to me. This is so funny to me. We're how many months, not even a full year removed of the cheerleader scandal when it broke, of the name scandal, which he was holding tight on, a guy who was so hated and everybody wanted him out. Now he's going to own all the controlling interest of the Washington football team. It goes back to the NFL does not give a fuck.
The NFL doesn't give a fuck. That's for sure. And then there's also this other thing, which, you know, I've been saying a lot lately because the stories just keep coming up of this guy canceled, that guy canceled, and blah, blah, blah. Like, cancel culture is a little overblown because here's the thing. If you don't give a fuck, you can't get canceled.
I agree.
It's the people who you know, go dark, they kind of cancel themselves. Now, you can lose a job, right? But you're not canceled. No one's canceled from life unless you let yourself get canceled. Dan Snyder's like, fuck you, I'm buying the rest of the team. Like, if you don't give a fuck, you can't get canceled, which is proof of Bill Burr. Like,
I was just about to say,
Bill Burr doesn't give a fuck.
I was just about to say, oh,
you got me. You caught me saying some shit that I fucking wrote down in a notebook and planned to say, motherfuckers. You don't think I know what I was fucking saying?
Yeah.
He doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah. And the combination of the NFL not giving a fuck, it's just crazy to me, right? Like, it doesn't matter how many editorials the Washington Post is going to write or the New York Times or anyone.
Right. Because the NFL doesn't give a shit. I mean, remember the Sterling thing? The NBA got in pretty quick and we're like, sell the team, motherfucker. You're selling this team. We're going to make you can, you know, take your time and get your fair price and we're not going to let you get lowballed, whatever, you know, but you're selling this fucking team. The NFL's like, buy the rest of the team. Buy the rest of the team. We don't give a shit. They're like, you know, it would be great if you could buy the rest of the team right now while Deshaun Watson's being accused of, you know, 16 sexual assaults.
I was just going to say, to go back to your initial point about the NFL letting it fly under the radar. It really did. Like I was seeing that today. You know, I saw the headline on ESPN, The Athletic, wherever I'm checking for sports news. And I'm thinking, wait, this isn't a bigger news story that Dan Snyder is. Because at one point, I don't know if you remember this, they were trying to get the other owners or other ownership groups possibly to buy the majority stake.
Right.
To get him out of there. Now he's buying everybody. And it's not even a big story.
Who's coming with me? He doesn't give a fuck. But we knew that about Dan Snyder.
Yeah, he really doesn't. So that was interesting news, which I'm glad we got to mention real quick because nobody else was definitely talking about it today. And the last NFL news, which shows they're all in finally. The NFL apparently was the last league on this. To go in on the gambling stuff. Superdome is no longer going to be the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. It is most likely going to be bought by Caesars.
Nice.
For naming rights for 20 years, supposedly at $10 million a year for $200 million. They don't know, you know, Caesars Entertainment, they own a bunch of things. I don't know what they're going to call it, but the Caesars Dome.
They own Harrah's, right? Which is
correct.
There's a Harrah's in New Orleans,
which they're branding. It's going to be Caesars now,
and so
they're remodeling. So yeah, they're actually remodeling. Did you notice they're remodeling the Superdome as well?
I'm just glad that it's not Mercedes-Benz. There was the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. There was a Mercedes-Benz Georgia Dome or whatever like that. New Atlanta Stadium. You can't Mercedes. What do you buy the whole NFC South? Like,
well, that's why they didn't renew.
Right.
Because they have the new stadium in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Good. But look, obviously, you and I are both in support of legal gambling. It's been a long time coming for this country.
Yeah. Yeah.
And once they get the two together, federally, we legalize weed and gambling. It's a great match made in heaven. Get a little
honestly, baked. I look forward to the day that I can gamble in weed, you know, where I can go onto my betting website and be like, I got an eighth on the Niners to win this weekend. And then you guys send me a fucking eighth. Like, I love, like, yeah, legalize everything.
Yeah. I love it. How far are we? Let me ask you this. How far are we away from somebody lighting a joint in public and there's not a stigma around it? Reefer, look at that guy.
I mean, I think we're pretty close in a lot of places already.
Sure. Well, I mean, you know, it's different in California. It's different in California than it would be here.
Yeah.
I always think of that time in Notre Dame freshman year when we were smoking a joint at tailgate and some of the dorky Notre Dame students before that. It was 2000 Notre Dame Purdue game. Notre Dame beat Drew Brees in a last second field goal. Dorky Notre Dame students, college students walking by us, being like, ugh, smells like Reaver with Bob Marley here. Like they were making jokes like that. And I would be like, you fucking cucks. I'm getting baked before our game, you dorks. Yeah. Bunch of nerds.
I mean, that's the whole, but that's, you know, what we've as a country and like our government and whatever has done forever, which is to stigmatize it so that you can't, because, and this is why they'll move on gambling and they'll legalize everything before they legalize shit that makes you sit down and think like, hey, shit's pretty fucked up. Like they've been trying to, you know, make pot evil for as long as it's been making people fucking go, hey, government's pretty fucked up.
Did you, real quick, I don't want to stay on this too long, but did you see the thing with the Biden administration and weed?
Yeah, so stupid. It's ludicrous. But that, listen, that's, yeah.
So
that's corporate Democrats. That's fucking,
for anybody who didn't see this, if you confess to smoking weed, which the irony is the vice president has,
right?
All those young staffers.
Well, what's good for cops isn't good for fucking regular people. We've known that forever.
Had
Top
to
speed all the time.
Had to resign.
Yeah, it's fucking stupid as shit.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it's unbelievable. But this is a great segue. We're talking about marijuana. Someone who loves cannabis and who's a big advocate. I know he's feeling great right now. It's Bill Walton.
Oh yeah, he must be a pig in shit right now with the Conference of Champions dominating the NCAA tournament.
4 out of the 16 teams are from the Pac-12. And that beat.
He's like, do you know how much? Do you know what percentage that is, Andy? Do you know what fraction that is? That's a quarter. You know what else is a quarter? The amount of mushrooms I ate before I called the Colorado Arizona game in January. I ate a quarter of mushrooms. And I could have sworn that the referee was a living buffalo, a great American buffalo. The only thing that's great about America is the buffalo. I've been saying that for years. We need to bring the buffalo back. But I'm getting off topic. The Conference of Champions throwing down 4 of 16 teams. And you can bet that they'll be there in the end. And you know what? Everybody's saying Gonzaga, whatever they are, his name, that they're going to win it all. And I got to say, Gonzaga has been, you know, ducking the Conference of Champions for going on a decade now. And if you're not going to be in the Conference of Champions, then you can't be a champion. Until they throw it down against better competition on the West Coast, they will never win it all.
Wow. Bold claims by Bill. Did you watch that beat?
Because the thing is, I love Spokane. I love it up there. The mountains in the background, the crisp Washington air. You're so close to Canada, where I almost once went to hide from Vietnam. I'm older than you think, Andy. And, you know, I love it up there in Washington. But you guys are in the Pacific Northwest, so you should play in the – we should make it the Pac-13. Come on, join the Conference of Champions. I hate to say this. You know I don't like to use foul language, but you scaredy cats, get in here. Sack up and throw down.
Bill, did you have a chance to see any of that historic beatdown that SC put on Kansas? It was the biggest loss by far in the NCAA tournament history for the program of Kansas. And the Pac-12 really just put a big exclamation point on those first couple rounds.
I mean, the Trojans entered without.
Oh boy. Bill, you there?
Man, you don't like to root for the Trojans. You don't like to see those guys from USC winning any games, but I've got to say, well, Conference of Champions over everything. I liked, you know, against my Bruins, I'll never vote for a Trojan. But oh, that night I had on a chest of armor and I was holding a sword and I said, Trojans, you throw it down.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. Is there anything that you're looking forward to the most this weekend, Bill?
Well, I mean, it's the silliest question of all time. The UCLA Bruins, a tradition built on the back of the great John Wooden and his pyramid of success. You know, everybody talks about the March Madness bracket. Take the bracket, fold it in half, and turn it sideways. What does it look like to you, Andy? Sure looks like a pyramid to me. They are. It seems like they're climbing sideways, but they're really climbing up a sideways turned folded pyramid that is March Madness. And I think it's safe to say now, I have hit the vaporizer multiple times today. I am on serious psychedelic mushrooms, but I think the Bruins, because who's going to beat a bunch of Bears, are going to be the NCAA basketball champions.
Wow. You heard it here first.
And I'd like to see them battle the Trojans at some point in LA versus LA rivalry. That downtown Trojans versus the Westwood, the Kings of Westwood.
Well, the Trojans already have a Pac-12. It's kind of stinks because we're going to lose no matter what happens. They're playing Oregon, so we're going to lose a Pac-12 team already from the Sweet 16.
One team losing to another in the Pac-12 only makes that winning team stronger. It's just like I always say, you can take the energy from a downed opponent. You eat it. You suck it in through your third eye. It's like when I go to a great Grateful Dead show and I sit there and I'm listening to the jam and I'm feeding off of the energy of other people. When I leave there, I'm flying for 72 hours at a time because I have enveloped all the energy of those other people and they have enveloped my energy. So when two Pac-12 teams face each other in a battle to the death, one team leaves with that extra Pac-12 energy. I think the winner of that game goes deep into this NCAA tournament, deeper than I went to the rabbit hole of my own mind after eating a half an ounce of mushrooms in college.
Love it. Look forward to it, Bill. Thanks for checking in with us. It's been a minute.
It's great to be here as always, Andy. I am excited. You hear the excitement in my voice. I had my wife run the cable wire to the teepee so that even when I'm sitting outside, I can watch all the games. You know, I had a rule for many years, and Luke knows this, and his good friend Richard Jefferson, who has slept in the teepee many times, also knows this, that we never allowed electricity in the teepee. They said, why don't we put up some Christmas lights? I said, no, everything in the teepee's got to be natural buffalo skin. There's that buffalo again, Andy, and wood that we chopped down in our own teepee, but no, not this year. So many great conference of champion teams. I had to run a cable wire. We've got a plasma screen TV in that teepee. That's the teepee TV, Andy.
Love it.
Throw down the cable wire and then run it up a pole because we're watching TV in the teepee this year.
Absolutely love it. Bill Walton, ladies and gentlemen.
Andy, it's great to hear from Bill Walton. I have a Bill Walton. I don't want to call it a Bill Walton story. I wish he was here to confirm. I know he hangs up really quick. When he throws down that phone, there's no getting him to pick it up again. I was recently in San Diego, and I was driving. I went to a brewery, and on my way to the brewery, I'm at a red light, and just as the red light changes, I'm about to go, and I see a guy screaming down this hill on his bike, and he goes through the light right as it turns green. Like if I had been quick on the gas, I would have run into this guy, and he cruises around us, and he was super fucking tall. And I said to my girlfriend, I said, I think that was Bill Walton.
That's amazing.
The guy on this bike was so tall and I was like, I wish, and he was flying by and just rode by us. I was like, I kind of want to spin around and see if that's Bill Walton. I'm not calling it a Bill Walton sighting, but I'm calling it a, like Bigfoot.
I was just going to say, it's like Bigfoot.
Possible I saw Bill Walton.
Did it happen?
Possible I saw Bill Walton riding his bicycle in San Diego.
That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. What a legend. It was around this time 4 years ago when we met the legend. When we went to his...
Still the greatest day of my life.
His event down in, where was that? Orange County?
Yeah.
What city was that in Orange County?
I think it was like Costa Mesa or something.
What a night. What a night that was.
What a night.
Really was. An evening with Bill Walton.
It was so great. And we've talked about it so many times on the show. An evening with Bill Walton. We heard him read from the book. He gave a lot of stories, asked a lot of questions. Then you and I met him and we were talking to him. We were showing him the Bill Walton gear. And the next thing you know, we were talking to him like 20 minutes. He fully held up the line.
Oh, we talked to him longer than any other person there.
Yeah.
And he loved it.
Yeah, he loved it. And we kept being like, oh, you got other people. He's like, it's fine. You need me to, you need to send me that sweatshirt. Send it to the Bill Walton Galactic Museum in Birmingham, Alabama. And I was like, what are you talking?
he gave you an address and his email.
Yeah.
The whole thing. Well, Joe, I'm excited about this weekend's games. And I'm even more excited because we're teaming up again with our friends at Stakes on the Stakes app. We are going to be live making questions for the Houston-Syracuse game, which is Saturday night at 9:55, so give or take around 10 o'clock. So Dirtballs, if you haven't downloaded the Stakes app yet, go ahead and download the Stakes app, play Stakes.
S-T-A-K-E-S.
S-T-A-K-E-S, yes.
Like gambling stakes, not edible stakes.
And we have our own private group with the Dirty Sports group.
Now, Andy, for people who haven't been on Stakes yet, explain to people the app and then explain exactly what we are doing, because I think this is pretty cool.
Yeah. So basically, I'm going to pull it up right now on my own.
The app, basically, you go in and you can kind of gamble these coins on things in the game. Like, will there be a dunk by any player before the next timeout? Will there be multiple three-pointers that happen before the next stoppage of play? What will happen first, a block or a charge?
And we have our own group, which is great. So you can play against the public, but if you download the Stake apps, you can play, search Dirty Sports, and you can join and play in our group. And that's what we're going to be calling the game. And by that, I mean, I'm going to be working with them and Joe will be, we'll both be interacting via the chat, but also let's say we want to come up with some fun questions, you know, will Jim Boeheim have another kid before the game's over? I mean, that's stupid and we won't ask that one, but
but it'll be a little bit more Dirty Sports signature style questions as opposed to the ones that you would normally find in there.
Correct. So go ahead and download the Stakes app. Again, that's S-T-A-K-E-S. And you can play with us Saturday night. And I will send out a tweet reminder before the game. That's the Houston-Syracuse game, which we both agree that we chose that game. That's the game we're looking forward to the most.
Well, I have Houston in the Final Four and a lot of, and Tug, you know, that was one of Tug's predicts, his favorites for the tournament. I think they're an exciting team. And then obviously one of the two schools I root for and everybody's favorite underdog whenever they get in there, Buddy Boeheim and his dad, Jim Boeheim, Syracuse Orange. To me, a very exciting game and certainly the one I'm most looking forward to this weekend.
Sure. So we had a discussion. I just want to quick add in a little, what do you call it? An amendment to a discussion we had Monday about the women's weight room thing before we moved on to the NBA.
Okay.
Cause there was an article, which I actually had missed in the Wall Street Journal.
Okay.
Which laid it out. The women's game has been growing viewership. That's one of the few where you see positive things. Like they are getting more viewers. They are getting more people interested. The women's college basketball game for sure. But this is a crazy stat. The women's March Madness, the NCAA tournament for the women is still not profitable yet. The TV contract for the women earns about $33 million a year. The TV contract for the
and that is not enough to cover the actual like running of a tournament.
Correct.
Okay.
So it's still not profitable. The men's, again, it's just something interesting to hear. Because we talked about money.
Which, by the way, yeah, that like, so there's two things to keep in mind when you hear something like that. First of all, most sports tournaments, whatever in college, like the, you know, let's say the national championship for, you know, the NCAA championship for swimming. I'm pretty sure that they're not making enough selling hot dogs and, you know, tickets to see that as they are the whole thing with all the teams having to travel there and blah, 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 blah. So most of these things aren't profitable. Now, that being said, men's sports, specifically the football, the bowl games, the basketball, the tournament, I'm sure, you know, the College World Series.
I have the numbers. I have the numbers.
These things pay for everything.
Yeah. So the women's, I was wrong. It's not 33. It's 35. Whatever. I was close. I pulled it up right now. So they make about $35 million annually on their TV contract. The men's is in the middle of a 22-year deal at $19.6 billion.
Right.
So the men's is a shade under $1 billion a year.
Right.
So that, you know, therein lies the difference. 35 million and, you know, 900 plus million. And then here's what's interesting. Of, from 2019, because there was no tournament in 2020, of the 1.1 billion that the NCAA brought in during the 2019 fiscal year, March Madness from the men's side accumulated 867 million or 79% of that revenue was just from the TV deals. So there, I mean, there it is. It's the big business of
right.
March Madness.
Right.
And that's all I wanted to, I just wanted to bring that up to actually have numbers to put them out there so people can understand that a little more. So Charles Barkley dropped something, which I didn't see. You added it to the rundown.
I added it to the rundown because these two things happened simultaneously almost. And I thought that they were both interesting conversations. I've already seen multiple people weigh in on both conversations, but Barkley started with, and I forget who he was talking to now. He was on a podcast or he was on a show or whatever, but he was definitely zooming in to someplace. And he said, and I'm going to, you know, paraphrase, but the gist of it was, James Harden is the best player in the NBA today, and he's the best offensive player that he has ever seen. Now, he followed that up by saying Michael this, Kobe that, blah, blah, blah. But he said, from a standpoint strictly of offense only, he said neither of those guys had the three-point shot that he had. He said neither of those guys passed as well as he did. Neither of those guys can get to the rim the way he did, which is like, dude, that's like a whole other discussion, which is true. You know, Harden doesn't have the mid-range game, and I would argue, why the fuck would he? Like, the mid-range game is pretty antiquated at this point, and if you're going to be a guy who shoots a three or gets all the way to the rim and either puts it in yourself or throws like a baby lob to somebody, it's a very evolved way of playing. I'm going to, you know, I'm less likely to agree with him on he's the best player in the NBA today. And I am more likely to agree with, from an offensive only standpoint, he's probably the highest evolution that we've ever seen. And the reason I would say that as compared to LeBron, who I think is a significantly, and I know this is saying something because James Harden is a pretty good passer, a significantly better passer than James Harden. James Harden is a significantly better outside shooter than LeBron James. And LeBron James and Harden gets a ton of assists. So he just does it in a totally different way than LeBron manages to get his assists.
Big claim, though. The best offensive player we've ever seen.
I kind of tend to agree with him on an evolution of the game standpoint. It's like, you know, again, unbelievable from three, unbelievable at drawing fouls, unbelievable at getting to the rim when he wants to. He's stockpiling assists at this point. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I think. I don't know. It's just so tough to just give that.
I mean, the argument is, if you go back in eras, no one touches this era when it comes to 3-point shooting. No one does. So let's just say the highest evolution of an offensive player is the one that can consistently make points that are worth 150% what the 2-pointer is worth. And James Harden gets fouled a lot doing it. So if you're just sticking with the highest evolution of an offensive player is going to be somebody who has a good hold on the 3-point shot, we're now limiting ourselves to, like, you know, who's in the discussion? LeBron, Steph, KD, Harden, Luka.
Yeah.
Damian Lillard, like, you know what I mean? Like, these guys, and I just, when you look at all around offensive game, Harden's is tough to compete with, like, versus any of those guys.
It's not as, I think what hurts him, whether it's right or wrong, is his game isn't as pretty as a lot of those guys.
Sure. But I mean, I think that that's a, I think that that's beauty's in the eye of the beholder. I think Harden's game's pretty. You know, people don't like the drawing the fouls. People don't like the whatever. But that's, again, that's part of the evolution of basketball. Everybody flops now. Everybody draws the foul. That's a whole, you know, somebody could write a book on, you know, the European influence in the NBA, the millennial, like the millennials, the Europeans, and televisions, like, leading to now every single person begs for calls all the time.
I know who could write it. There's this guy out there. He goes by Manu One of One.
Yeah. Manu One of One
on Twitter.
Yeah.
And he's this anonymous, just diehard Ginobili fan from Argentina. And he should write it.
But when you talk about, you know, like Barkley brings up Kobe and Jordan, who had, like, this crazy footwork and the crazy ability to get their own shots and make shots that no one else can make with hand. Dude, it's not even close to a guy who's, the other night he dished out 17 assists. Like, it's just not even close from, like, all he does. You add that passing, you add the 3-point shot. Like, to say that Michael Jordan or Kobe, because their mid-range footwork was so great, or the offensive player of a guy who, you know, plays from 40 feet to 0 feet. It's pretty unbelievable. I would argue, you know, my argument would be of all these guys, and, like, you know, you look at a guy like Luka who still has a ways to go, how much better is he going to get? That's the question. But I think if you look at, like, offensive arsenal, Dame Lillard's pretty good, but he's not Harden. Kevin Durant is unbelievable shooter at his height and pretty good at getting to the rack, but he's not dishing out 17 assists in a game. If I had one guy in the history of basketball to get one shot, it's Kevin Durant. But from the passing to everything, like, it's pretty hard to argue.
Yeah.
From just an offensive standpoint, the offensive arsenal, the different ways to score or affect scoring. My only real argument will be LeBron James passing that, you know, what will never factor in is, it's probably the next level of thinking, is LeBron James pass that sets up the next pass. Like, LeBron James' ability to make the long pass that's basically undefendable and makes the defense shift so fast, but, like, those don't get counted as assists, but the hockey pass that LeBron James makes would be my argument for him as, like, an offensive weapon over the years. But that's, like, a whole that name. Now, you know, we're going to really have to get down and dirty if we're going to, like, figure out the value of that versus the value of Harden's 3-point shooting, Harden's ability to get to the rack and pass when he does, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Those are the two guys to me that are the argument for offensive skill ever.
All around.
Offense.
Yeah.
Correct. Now, James Harden, you know, him saying James Harden's the best player in the NBA right now. Listen, defense is half the battle. If you're absolutely incompetent defensively, like, you're not, like, you got to play defense. It's part of the game. So that's to me where his he's the best player today. I have way more of an issue with that. And defense is part of the game, which leads us into the other conversation, which is Draymond Green. Talk about, I mean, people love Draymond Green kind of as a low-key LeBron beef through the years. And like people got on LeBron James for saying he's the greatest player of all time, which he probably has a claim to. Obviously, I think so. Draymond Green coming out of nowhere saying he's the greatest defender in history is insane.
Yeah, he's an idiot.
That's insane.
I know. I think Draymond's he's just gearing himself up for post-career TV. He just says crazy shit.
And I saw Chris Webber talking about it and being like, I love Draymond, and I think he is a great defender, and he's maybe the best, most versatile defender in the game today, and blah, blah, blah. But like, then Draymond and Tony Allen are getting into it on Twitter, and it's like, yo, until Dennis Rodman's in this conversation on Twitter, or Scottie Pippen chimes in, or Bill Russell chimes in, or Ben Wallace chimes in, or, you know, KG. Like, there are guys who are just affecting the game so much more drastically, even if it was for a shorter amount of time, or even if it was for a more specific situation. But, like, dude, you're one time. I mean, Gary Payton. I get that, you know, Draymond's pretty versatile. He can guard a lot of positions. But like, dude, so could Rodman. Pippen can fucking guard everybody.
Yeah. I agree. Come on. These guys were so good. Like, we had a pretty good era that we got to see with some of those guys. I mean, you have one defensive, it's not all about that, but you have one defensive player of the year. One. But Ben Wallace has four. Rodman has multiple. Pippen was locked down defender.
And don't remember, Draymond Green was crying in his car and recruiting Kevin Durant because LeBron James flat out, you know, LeBron James's numbers in those series against the Warriors are otherworldly. I mean, I understand that, you know, Walt Clyde Frazier says this all the time in Knicks games. He would say, when I would play against a great scorer, if I held them to their average, I felt like I did a good job. If I held them below their average, it means that they're scoring more than that against a lot of guys. They're scoring less than that against me. So I felt like I won if I kept the guy below his average. LeBron James would go into these fucking things and set finals average records.
I mean, come on. Exactly.
Bro, you're the guy.
Draymond's just the giant. Draymond is that. He's that rare breed of troll and moron.
Yeah.
He's half troll, half moron.
He's mostly troll, but he's definitely some moron.
Like, what are you doing, man? Come on. Like, you're a great defender, but I mean, all time.
Yeah, it's kind of ludicrous.
It's the dumbest shit I've ever heard.
It's way, like it's infinitely more ludicrous thing to say than Charles Barkley calling James Harden the greatest offensive player of all time.
Yeah, I just looked. I was like, what you said, where is Dennis Rodman in all this? I looked at his Twitter. He's MIA. That's what's going on.
Yeah, because, I mean, yeah, let's be honest. Dennis Rodman lost his Twitter password years ago and has no idea how to recover it. He wouldn't even know where to start.
But the one thing I did
love... The only reason Dennis Rodman isn't on Twitter... He should have had his Twitter password tattooed on his neck.
Yeah.
Is he even on Twitter? Does he have a Twitter?
Yeah, he's on Twitter. He's got a good following, but like I saw... I couldn't see an original tweet from him since like July or something. Mm-hmm. You know what else Dennis Rodman has going for him? We saw in the Bulls docuseries... He liked to drink Miller Lite.
Yeah, he did. I mean, does that tell you everything you need to know?
Right?
I wouldn't have even figured Dennis Rodman for being a Miller Lite drinker.
But it makes sense.
Yeah. And Tug told us, Larry Bird, devout Miller Lite drinker. Devout.
We're talking about NBA legends.
Yeah. I will not name other beers, but I challenge anyone to find even two legends of that caliber who favor a beer besides Miller Lite. I'll give you the big three. Larry Bird, Dennis Rodman, Joey No Chill Prano. I bring a better starting lineup. Bring one.
I mean, it's true. We got legends drinking Miller Lite. You guys really got to join the crew if you're not on board. It's never too late. Hop on board. Miller time. Miller Lite. Great taste with only 96 calories and 3.2 carbs. However you and your friends are enjoying Miller time, you can have the original light beer delivered by going to MillerLite.com/dirty sports and find the delivery options near you. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces. Joe is showing off that Miller Lite right now.
I'm holding to, because I just want everybody to know, when I do a Dirty Sports podcast, I drink simultaneously. I drink more Miller Lights than Draymond Green has defensive players of the year. Like, I mean, there's no reason not to have one for each hand when I'm doing the Dirty Sports podcast on in the evening.
Yeah. You're ready to be defensive player of the year.
I want to bring something up because it just made me think of it when I made the crazy starting lineup of me, Larry Bird, and Dennis Rodman. I started thinking, what a basketball lineup that would be. And then, like, I was like, man, we could round that out with two other nobodies and pretty high GOAT status right there. Now, I saw a great tweet from Tug's buddy, Meb,
sure,
who I know you know.
Yeah.
And we can keep this brief, but this just reminded me of it. He asked this question. Would prime Shaq and prime Kobe and three literal dudes off the street win March Madness? To which I said, no fucking doubt about it.
That is a great discussion.
I mean,
it's a great hypothetical.
We've seen Jimmer go into multiple rounds. We've seen CJ McCollum and literal guys off the street.
Wally Szczerbiak
beat Duke. We've seen Steph Curry and a bunch of guys you never heard of. Prime Kobe and prime, most importantly, prime Shaquille O'Neal.
I was just thinking, who's
40-20?
No.
NBA Shaquille O'Neal. It would be
40-20. I'm saying he's getting 50. Shaq's getting 50-30 a game.
No, that's what I'm saying. He was getting 40-20 in the NBA against fucking, you know, David Robinson. 40-20 NBA Finals Shaquille O'Neal versus college kids would be Adam Sandler in the schoolyard. Now you're all in big trouble.
Yeah.
It wouldn't even be close. And the idea of having a shooter with him in Kobe,
it'd be pretty lethal. That would be a much better March Madness than anything we've ever seen before.
I say no doubt about it.
I mean, who is anybody? Are we talking like you or Matty Goldberg? I mean, there is a disparity.
I'm talking about like me, you, and Goldberg. Me, you, Goldberg, Shaq, Kobe. Prime Shaq Kobe against this March Madness.
But we'd be basically worthless.
But so then what happens? So what, buddy?
So they triple
team. So Buddy Boeheim fucking scores on Matty Goldberg. He makes every single shot. He's not going to go 100%. And if he gets by Goldberg,
they triple team Shaq.
Has to go to Shaq. So you, Andy, think about what you're saying. They triple team Shaq. So now they have two guys to guard prime Kobe. I'm not even the world's biggest Kobe Bryant fan, but Kobe Bryant was double teamed for much of his NBA career, let alone by nobody fucking college kids. And by the way, Matty Goldberg could sleep in his bunk bed or whatever. Like, so if two guys are on Shaq and three guys are on Kobe, you and I are just getting open layups. I mean, I can shoot the same percentage on wide open, uncovered five footers as Buddy Boeheim can make on a covered three pointer. That's for sure.
It's a pretty crazy scenario.
It's not even a question to me.
I don't know.
It's not even a question to me. I was like, 100%. We're talking about two guys that dominated in their primes. The jump from the college to the NBA is insane.
Sure.
We're not talking about 19-year-old LSU Shaq. We're talking about fully formed
Shaquille O'Neal.
That's the dude with.
That's a great, like, where's he come up? That's a good one to come up with.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he was having that discussion with somebody else. That's why he put it on his Twitter. But I was like, 100%. There's no doubt about it. Dude, Jimmer was winning fucking thinking about he's 5'11". He went to BYU. CJ McCollum beat Duke by himself.
Yeah, Steph Curry took them to the Elite Eight.
Baby Steph Curry. 145-pound Steph Curry. Not prime Steph Curry.
Was it me and you? Oh, no, it was me and Nick. We were watching one of those games. It was on. You remember when the pandemic hit last year? They were just showing old games from March Madness. Me and Nicky D watched one of those Davidson games.
That's when Steph Curry had to like really like put effort into like, shooting.
Bro, he was a child.
5 years later, he's in the NBA shooting it from 40 feet out.
Yeah, he was balling out.
By the way, can we just talk about how prime Shaq and Kobe won the NBA championship with a bunch of nobodies on their team? I mean,
3 years in a row.
What are we talking about?
They had great role players, though.
Yeah, fucking Rick Fox and, you know,
Robert Ory.
Robert Ory. Like, yeah, great role players.
Derek Fisher.
Sure. And they have a single other fucking NBA All-Star on their team? It's not even a doubt in my mind. I think they would roll. I think Shaq would sleep through the first couple rounds.
I just think like we'd be so exhausted. If you put guys like me and you, old ass dudes, we'd be so exhausted.
I mean, okay.
You and I could not guard a single person on an NCAA team. Not a single person.
No, but you just stay near them. So what? They're not going to score 100% of their baskets. Shaq is going to score 100% of his baskets. Can you imagine some fucking kid trying to stop prime Shaq from fucking dude, he's pulling down fucking stanchions in the NBA.
It's a crazy scenario.
It's 100% Shaq and Kobe. That's the scenario. I don't even know why this is a question. This is craziness. I was like, I'm offended on behalf of the legacy of Kobe Bryant.
You want to hear from
some of the dirtballs?
Some of the dirtballs who could be on that team, that Shaq Kobe team.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do some dirtball calls.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Randy, Army Dirtball. Sorry, I'm kind of drunk at the moment, but.
Come on, pause it there. Like, I love when it's like.
Did he say Army Dirtball?
Yeah, he's in the Army. But it's like.
Sorry, I'm kind of drunk.
It's so funny. He can tell he's lit. I mean, listen to this call.
Well, I was on the PlayStation Store the other day, and they had all three Spyro games on sale for like 20, 25 bucks. And I played Spyro a lot when I was a little kid.
What Spyro is?
So I was just wondering, what are, you know, some like nostalgic.
Yeah. Do you, I'm gonna pause again. Do you have, I don't have no clue what Spyro is.
I have no idea.
Okay. Fucking Randy.
Video games for you guys. I just listened to the episode with Tug. And nostalgia was a, you know, big discussion point on the episode. So yeah, like any video games that you guys, you know, Like, yeah. big nostalgia games.
Jesus, Randy, just say, what were your favorite video games growing up?
Just curious about that. All right, stay dirty, boys. Bye.
Oh, Randy.
So.
Well, there's a reason I bought a combination Galaga Pac-Man, because I fucking, that's nostalgia. Going to Pizza Hut, you're sitting down at a table. I'm like, dude, now I'm a grown-ass man. I'm almost 40 years old. I get to play it. NBA Jam, great.
Yeah.
Contra, Mortal Kombat.
Mario Kart.
I was never as big a Mario. The original Super Mario Brothers is, come on. No.
I was always a sports game guy and always like I'm always a sports game guy or something I can compete with other people and like just like sitting around and playing it on my own. I never did a ton of that. Tony Hawk Pro Skater back in the day, did a lot of Tony Hawk. Probably the game I played the most solo. And I realized that there's many iterations of these, but like Madden, FIFA, I loved a lot of FIFA. NBA Jam for sure, NBA Live 95, NBA 2K, the original, NHL 94. Oh man, the original back in the day, and then fucking NHL 95 when they took out the heads bleeding. All those sports games for sure. And then I'll throw out this one because I said Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. I just had to look it up because I couldn't even remember. I was like, it wasn't Sean White because he was in the game as like a 13-year-old or something like that. Sean Palmer's Pro Snowboarder had the most fun. I can't even believe that they didn't keep doing this. And I cannot believe it was like, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but it was like the only game version of this that I ever played. You would play two people. You'd go down the same mountain side by side through pro snowboarder. And the fucking boards were sick. And if you threw a big trick, it would make your opponent's side smaller. And if you would go back and forth, big tricks would push. It was called push. You would push each other's side of the screen until eventually one guy pushed the other guy off the screen, or you finished the course, whoever had more of the screen would win. And it was so fucking sick. We played it so much. And now I'm talking about, I was 22 when that shit was out. I was playing that in my fucking apartment pregame, like first year out of college. I mean, that and FIFA, obsessed. Sickest game ever, and they never brought it back.
Interesting.
Somebody tell me if there's another version of Push out there, or if you're old enough to remember Sean Palmer Pro Snowboarder's Push gameplay mode. Just let's bask in how fucking sick that was. It was unbelievable.
I'll tell you one thing: video games with. You talk about a combo. We talked about it earlier. Video games and marijuana. You a match made in heaven.
Oh yeah. Oh, like, that's exactly what it was. Me and my buddy Veal sitting around smoking. He lived on my couch for like 6 months.
His name was Veal.
Well, his name's Neil, but we called him Veal. It's a long story. Mikey nicknamed his brother Meat, and then Meat's brother was Veal. Neil was Veal.
You guys.
He brought the weed. I brought the apartment, the video games, and the music, and we would sit there, and it was so funny. Veal, big smoker, not big party guy. Veal would sit on the couch with me while I slammed beers. We'd smoke weed, play FIFA, play Sean Palmer Push, and then I'd go drink, and he would just stay on my couch. I'd be like, you're just staying here at my place? All right. See you in 7 hours. Come back all wasted.
Shout out to those guys. Shout out to the guys. I feel like they were ahead of their time. The guys who weren't big drinkers, but would just get baked.
Yeah. And he was like, I got stomach issues, you know? And you're like, all right, buddy. Just say you get hammered too fast and you make him fool yourself.
Oh, he was a stomach issue guy?
Yeah. He was like it's whatever. He just didn't like to drink.
That's cool. That's fine.
Yeah.
We had some guys like that in my fraternity. Like, they didn't really drink, they would just get baked. and I never got it. And then I stopped drinking, which, by the way, 7-year anniversary of the denting coming up soon.
Whew. It's upon us.
Yeah. April 5th, 2014.
At the 10-year mark, we're going to have to do an oral history of the denting.
There's some new dirtballs that are listening saying, what the hell are you guys talking about?
What is the denting? Old denty.
I've uncovered some new evidence.
Oh.
Not evidence, but medical diagnosis.
Wow.
I found an old email my mom had sent. Because mind you, I'm all doped up in the hospital on drugs. I guess it was pretty serious. Like, I knew it was, but then I'm reading this email the other day, like, holy shit. And I didn't realize how many drugs I was on after the denting.
Yeah.
Like, I knew I was on drugs. I knew I was on steroids. I knew I was on a few things, anti-seizure medication for like a month, but I didn't realize they were very concerned about. Dude, I'm the luckiest guy alive. Like, seriously, like, for me to come out.
I like that. At first, I thought he said anti-seizer, and then I was like, oh, he meant seizure. I was like, did it stop people from stabbing you in the back?
maybe my
A2 Goldberg?
maybe my speech came wrong while I'm talking about it. Came wrong. Jesus. My speech, I'm going.
Now you've got full Deshaun Watson. You came wrong? How do you come wrong?
When they
don't want you to, and you're getting massage.
Yeah. This is unbelievable. There is a call about me from the past, a paid call.
Let's go.
From Kyle Aronofsky.
Ooh, Kyle Aronofsky poning up the old little pork roll yid money. Spend a little pork roll yid money.
Let's see what he has to say.
What's going on, boys? Kyle Aronofsky calling back once again from beautiful Toms River, New Jersey, home of the 1998 Little League World Series champions. Just listening to Monday's podcast, you asked for some feedback from hockey fans regarding can a mediocre goalie win a Stanley Cup? The answer, short answer, is no. There have been goalies who are not known as, you know, top of the league starters that had gone on big playoff runs and won a Stanley Cup. The latest that comes to mind is Antti Niemi. He was the goalie for the Blackhawks in 2010. He wasn't the starter until like late in the season. He had like a great playoff run, played his best hockey, and then, you know, they won the cup, and he signed a couple contracts with some other teams and just never got back to that level. There's another guy, Jordan Binnington, in his rookie year, won it with the Blues in, what was that, 2019? And he hasn't really played nearly that well, but you can't play mediocre in the playoffs. You're going to have to win some game sevens. You're going to have to play well in overtimes to win 16 games and win the cup. But the real reason for my call is, to go over some of Reuther's outstanding bets.
Wow.
There's one where you're supposed to wear the L chain for 2 weeks. That never happened. And the other one was you're supposed to wear, MAGA gear on the Venice Boardwalk. Definitely can't do that. You don't live there anymore. I'm assuming it's pretty dead over there. So I think what you should do, now that you have your Kings Island, season pass, I think you have to do at least a couple days with the L chain, wear it on all the roller coasters. Definitely more annoying and more of a nuisance, I would imagine, than just wearing it around or, you know, cleaning your garage and hanging out in the basement with it on. The other thing is the MAGA gear doesn't make sense anymore. You're in Ohio. All right. Later.
Yeah. The MAGA gear in Ohio is like, you're just getting high fives from neighbors.
it's very divided here.
Yeah.
I said, I noticed that it's extremely divided. So,
well, first of all, thank you for the great information on the hockey goalies. It's great to hear. Second of all, I want to thank Kyle for sent me a pork roll yid t-shirt and some pork roll yid stickers. So follow at the pork roll. I think it's just at pork roll yid. He reviews pork rolls around New Jersey. Kyle, mixing some leafy greens as well. I feel like you've put on weight since you started doing the pork roll thing. Don't have a heart attack because you're eating all these pork rolls. Now let's get to your outstanding bets. The L chain is outstanding.
I agree.
I kind of like this. I kind of like what was it supposed to be? 2 weeks? Like, I almost feel like five,
five. I might not even go
trips
to, Kings,
to Kings Island.
I might not even go five times.
Well, then we're going to need. Okay. Here's what I'll say. Well, I think
there's each, a lot of things. There's think, a lot of things at play.
I think here. Each L chain trip to Kings Island is worth three full days.
I'll say this. Are they letting me? I mean, these roller coasters are insane.
Yeah.
No way they're letting me get on a roller coaster.
But I like in theory what he's saying. It's like if you walked around this whole, if you just walk, like there's a lot of people getting eyes on the L chain. You know what I'm saying? People going, true. Like, what is the deal with this guy and his chain? But also, you are in an amusement park where people wear all kinds of goofy shit. I mean, you go to Disneyland, this guy's literally wearing goofy hats. So you wouldn't be that out of place.
Well, I see
I need some public appearances in the L chain is what I need.
My brother's in the YouTube comments. He says he will enforce this one because he has a Kings Island pass.
Love it.
So we do have an enforcer.
Which one of your brothers?
Mark, my little brother.
Mark, I love it. Mark, also tell us other public events that Andy will attend, maybe family events, whatever, where the L chain can be donned in exchange for just like a day or a couple days.
Because I agree,
sitting in your parents' basement with the L chain on is really not the what I envisioned when I was like you going to Costco and going to, you know, your favorite taco spot with Nikki D.
I can still do that.
Also, you're gonna be out here. You're gonna be out here for 10 days. Pack that L chain.
The L chain's gotta be fixed.
I've been hearing this for a year.
I know. But it's gotta be fixed. I found it. I was in U-Haul storage today. It's in storage. I brought it. There's no way they're letting me ride some of these wild roller coasters. How do you feel about that?
Like, probably not.
Would that bother you if they're like, dude, you got to take it off?
Well, I'd like to
test it
out. Like to find that out for sure.
Okay. But my question to you is
the ones that flip around and shit. But like, I bet you could wear it on the old wooden coaster.
That one's insane. The Beast? No way.
It doesn't flip, right?
No, but it's all over the place, dude. How about that? Knock a guy's face out. Now,
The MAGA bet, there's a little bit of inconsistency with the history. Yeah. I can say, I'll let you make your point. I can say I don't recall. I'm going full. I have no, I truly don't, but I believe you. I believe you. I black out during these shows. I don't remember what I said on last episode. So I definitely don't remember.
There was no bet on the MAGA thing. The MAGA was, you dropped your comedy special Election Day 2016.
Correct.
I was trying to throw you a bone as a friend and podcast co-host.
Which I appreciate.
And I tweeted out, which, sorry, that's no longer there. Sorry, guys. Joe and I had to do some damage control. We got to get paid.
No damage control, just, you know.
Regardless, I tweeted out if you sold enough specials at a certain 24-hour, 48-hour period.
That you would wear the L chain. Or that you would wear the MAGA gear.
That I wear the MAGA gear in LA at a rally. Like a Hillary rally or something like that.
Right.
You did tell me, Ruther, I didn't meet that. I didn't meet the goal.
Yeah.
So that's what that was for.
So, I certainly am not trying to make you pay up on something you were trying to help me on. I don't recall that. If that's what that was, you totally get a pass from me.
Yeah. Okay. Cause that's what happened.
Okay. I believe you. I know there's some dirty sports historians out there. And if that checks out with the, you know, the Jesse Stangas of the world or our boy Luke on Original, who I know will come up here in a minute. I trust you. I trust you. I have no reason not to trust you. And I appreciate your efforts in regards to my comedy special, which is still available on Amazon Prime.
Okay, so my little brother is making another suggestion. Jesus, now I'm getting teamed up upon the L chain. I'm going to do an Easter egg hunt at the house for the kids on Easter. And I bought a bunny costume. Like, I'm going all in. He thinks I should wear the L chain while I'm the Easter bunny.
Seems fair. That's worth a full day for me.
It's going to confuse the kids.
The kids won't care. Explain it to the kids. These kids are, You get it. You got a smart family. Hey, I lost a bet. I had to wear the L chain. Uncle Mark said I had to do it during the Easter Bunny. Here I am.
This is unbelievable. Yeah, I will need some confirmation. I'm almost positive on the MAGA thing. I know it was attend that rally. Remember we were going to go? Remember it was rainy?
Yep.
It was election day. I'm sorry. No, it was inauguration day. There was an anti-Trump rally. Do you remember this at all?
I kind of vaguely. Yeah.
And you and I were going to go. And then I remember being like, it's rainy and you didn't even meet the quota. Again, it wasn't like I was just like. Do you want me to play what Unoriginal found?
Well, yeah. Before you do that, I want to mention one more thing because I have a very similar thing. It wasn't a bet. Let me just see what if this is an up. It wasn't a bet, but okay. So this podcast just dropped yesterday. I just recorded this with our boy Josh Nelson, and I'm doing his show down in PB tomorrow, the PB Backyard Show. Our boy Josh Nelson started a new podcast recently called What's Your Price? And the idea of the podcast, I just recorded this a couple days ago, is name your price. Like he tells you like, what, how much would it cost for you to fight Mike Tyson in his prime? How much would it cost for you to sleep in a dumpster for 24 hours? How much would it cost? Whatever. Now for a comedy, but also for, you know, legitimate, like to be, please listen to it and you can hear the whole thing. But to preview one of the questions for you, Josh told me, he goes, how much to take a fastball from like off your body, like get drilled with a fastball from a big leaguer? And I was like, any big leaguer, like just big leaguer X. I mean, are we talking about, you know, Jamie Moyer, you know, a light throwing lefty? Are we talking about, he's like Randy Johnson in his prime. I'm like, whoa, like there's a whole other, I was like, now we're talking about like one of the most lethal flamethrowers of all time. Like that's a way other question. And I forget what I think I said maybe like $5,000 for Randy. I was like, I'll break a rib. You know what I mean? He's like, okay, ball player X, like Joe ball player, you know, he's a major league pitcher. And I was like, I don't know. $500. And my reasoning was like, if the money's right there, you know, I mean, if somebody shows you $500 and like, you just got to take a fastball off the back, maybe I went a little low, but it's not that low. Like $500 is a good amount of money for, you know, 20 minutes of pain.
You went low.
I went low. So he agrees I went low, and he calls up Jeff Dye, who knows some fucking big leaguers, and now apparently some big leaguer is going to drill me for $500. So this is in the works. Keep your eye, listen to What's Your Price to see the other things I
like it.
Probably lowballed on, but apparently now I'm going to have to wear one from a big leaguer. So keep your eye out for me wearing one. Hopefully at 41, it doesn't puncture a lung or something. But
where are you getting hit? Does it matter?
Well, that's what I said. I mean, obviously, hopefully. You know, like hopefully it drills me in the butt or something like that. But I mean, when you, it's a whole other thing too, when you know you're getting drilled, like I'm just going to go up there, hold a bat. The second he goes into his windup,
it's even worse when you know you're going to get hit.
I know, but I feel like also you can then prep like a smart baseball, like if a guy throws it at you, you kind of turn, you know, you kind of show your back to the ball and just wear it. As opposed to like, if you don't do that in time and you wear, but like, I'm hoping I can get at the very least an elbow guard. Like hitting me in the elbow would suck. But otherwise, like he's going to go into his windup and I'm just going to show him my number and just wear one in the back or hopefully the butt, hopefully not the head and hopefully not the rib.
Wear a cup.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it would be hard for it to get that way, but yeah, for sure.
So you went low, but still,
I agree. I went low, but
$500 straight cash, homie.
I didn't go that low. $1,000 is probably the right number, but
yeah,
you know, provided I don't crack a rib. So that's upon us, but you can also listen to that podcast. What's Your Price with Josh Nelson. I think mine's the latest episode.
That's a good premise of a podcast. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It was good. It was fun.
I like that. That's good. So the dirt balls always come through. They really do. Last week, I said I know I played an answering machine message from my parents years ago. Can anybody find it? And Luke, longtime dirtball, unoriginal on Twitter.
Former intern of the Coos Comedy.
Shoots me a few episodes.
Love Luke, by the way. Shout out. I'm glad that to hear that Luke is still listening. I'm so excited that this, in addition to him finding the message, so excited to hear Luke still listens. Coos for life, bro. Great to hear that you're still out there.
So get this. This was my father, rest in peace, the late, great Wal Reuther. This was his Dirty Sports debut, audio-wise, from an episode February 2nd. I believe it was my mom's, too. February 2nd. Thank you, Joe.
Sorry.
Appreciate that.
Right in the middle of your eulogy.
Of my dead parents. It really makes me feel good.
Sorry.
It really makes me feel good.
It was not planned. My apologies also to your brother who's listening. I'm sorry, Mark. That was unintended. I didn't mean to, pass oral gas during the remembrance portion of the show. When it happens, it happens.
So this is from February 2nd, 2015, the first episode after the Patriots-Seahawks Super Bowl. The episode was titled Pete Carroll Coaches Hashtag Like a Girl.
Yeah.
We were mocking some sort of Super Bowl ad.
Right.
It was episode 76 of the Dirty Sports Podcast.
And now we're on what? 714?
Today's episode 714. Correct. So this is the call between my parents. This is the answering machine message with my mom and dad.
So my mom sends me this text to my brothers. She's like, you guys are going to love this. So my dad, Wal Reuther, as you guys all know.
Can we pause it for one second?
Yeah.
Can we pause it for one second? I love that. Was this pre-denting?
Yes. No. Post-denting.
Post-denting.
No. Why? Pre.
Pre-denting. Why do you sound like a morning radio DJ? I'm like, yeah, on the Zoom. We got a call from my dad. We're here on the Zoom. Wah, wah.
Wow. I sound so ridiculous. I'm not as mellow as I am now. I sound so ridiculous.
I feel like the denting dropped your voice 2 octaves.
It's way higher back then, isn't it?
Yeah.
I told you.
Welcome to another episode of the Dirty Sports, where we play a lot of prank calls.
So yeah,
another prank call from a dad.
This is,
Walt, calling Costco.
This is 6 years ago. My voice has changed. Let's see if your voice has changed.
Okay.
The legend.
The original dent head.
The original
Deadhead senior.
No, so this is, I stand corrected. This is a year after the denting.
That would be pretty awesome if I was just calling you Denthead. I was just seeing the future. It's like,
yeah.
Post dent.
Harvey Denthead senior. No chill. My dad's an old dude. He's 71. He has hearing aids. He can't hear worth shit if they're not in. He can't hear at all.
I feel like he's just turned his brain off at this point because of you guys.
So, he raised five.
Selective hearing.
Yeah, he's raised five boys. I mean, he's been working his whole life. So anyway, my mom sends this audio. This is from their answering machine. First of all, I love the home phone answering machine.
Yeah, you got a landline going.
Like my parents, like, what is this, 1988? So this is my mom calling my dad and the answering machine.
I'm surprised your mom didn't film this on a video camera and mail you the tape to watch.
Right? I know. So this is my mom calling my dad from the grocery store and the answering machine was on. And this is the whole exchange of my mom talking to my dad.
Walt, hello?
Yes.
I'm shopping at Kroger's for a couple of things. Should I just get some milk?
You're talking to who?
Oh, God. I am stopping at Kroger's. Should I get milk?
You're at Kroger's? Well, let me get a different phone. This damn phone is no good.
Hey,
All right. So that's
phone is no good.
And that's always his excuse. This damn phone is no good.
I love that I laughed in unison with myself. I was synchronized laughing with my, this is real Back to the Future shit.
Yeah, you were laughing now and you were laughing from February 2nd.
Almost identically. I was like, man.
Yeah. I mean, how great is that?
I love your mom coming back with the, like, you can hear the years of dealing with your dad. Your mom comes back with, it sounded like she all of a sudden got a megaphone and she was like, I'm at Kroger's. Do you want milk?
You know what? I can't tell you how much joy that brings me. And when I first heard it, when I looked that up again, much love to Luke on that. It was that odd combo of I'm laughing, but also I'm like crying at the same time. Right. Cause I'm like hearing my parents. So like I have tears, but I'm laughing out loud. And like you said, like, that's just like, that's my, like that 30 seconds. It's so small. But that encompasses so much of their relationship. And that'll always put me in a good mood when I hear it. So seriously, thank you, Luke. And I'm glad that I've become a man, that my balls have dropped.
Yeah. We got my mom on the phone from Kroger's. There you go. Another Joanne Calls Walt here on the Morning Zoo.
I was doing radio at the time, so maybe that was rubbing off on me. But
your dad is so funny.
Oh, he's so funny.
Mom.
Dude, you know what was so great? My dad would, he would say shit that like.
What was his first response? She goes, I'm, what did he say first?
You're
calling where? You're calling what?
You know what I thought of the other day, which I was laughing about? We went to my niece's music recital for her high school. She goes to an all-girl high school 2 years ago. And my dad, it's such a dumb joke, but it was so funny. Like in between them playing songs, you know, it's packed. It's like 200 people in a theater auditorium. He says so loud, I just realized this is an all-girl school. It was so dumb, but like it was so funny. And I laughed so hard and my mom slapped my leg. Like you can't laugh. Like, and on the way home, she told him she would never go to another one of those things again with him. And then she also chewed me out for laughing at his jokes. Like, this is an all girls school. Like thinking he's hilarious. And I'm like, you are funny. Like he's way funnier than me. Just that,
I agree. I was trying to get Walt to co-host the show with me forever. I was like, we can let Andy do the Z Morning Zoo on his own.
Holy shit. Unbelievable. Well, let's end on that. We got a few more. Or do you want to do a couple more calls?
Sure.
You always say sure on these night shows.
I don't care. Yeah, on these night shows. What do I got to do?
Okay.
My day's done. You know what I mean? I got my swim in today. And also my Wednesday is usually pretty light. So here, what do I got to do? The only issue I have is like this computer I have. And I don't know. I think I've mentioned this to before, but since Luke was so helpful with this call, I'm going to throw it out there. When I zoom in on this Microsoft Surface that my brother gave me, because the camera is really good. 45 minutes into using it, the screen goes bonkers. And like, I feel like I'm going to get, you know, autism just looking at the screen. It's like max headroaming 45 minutes in. It's the only reason I ever want to get off when I don't have anything to do is because this thing is going to give me epilepsy. If anybody knows how to fix that, well, slide into my DMs.
I mean, we can end the show, Joe.
No, it's fine. Let's do one more call. Okay. That's it. We're on the zoo.
You want to end? Okay, I'll let you pick.
Okay.
We have Jay from Minnesota responding again to the Wisconsin caller.
We're doing call madness. Two calls, only one spot in the Sweet 16. Prano, here's the calls. We got. Okay, what do you got?
Jay from Minnesota. Remember, he's
Minnesota farmer dirt ball.
He keeps going back and forth with Wisconsin dirt ball.
Right, right. There's the Wisconsin Minnesota beef. Okay.
Or we have a first time caller. Well, this question
is easy. First time caller.
Yeah.
Long time listener, first time caller.
Yeah.
I love you, Jay. I appreciate all your calls. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. But
we got ourselves
a first timer here.
And Jay, we'll get to your call next episode. 310-359-8365. There you go.
Hey, Joe and Andy. This is Steven calling from South Bend, Indiana. Do you guys think that last year's Tampa Bay team that won the Super Bowl makes it to the Super Bowl and wins it if they have Jameis Winston as their quarterback? They have the whole rest of their team the same, just different quarterback. And if not, do you think they even make it to the playoffs? Thanks, guys, and stay dirty.
We had another call during that call. So
they went 11-5 last year, right?
Correct.
Here's what I'll say. The idea that Jameis Winston wins the Super Bowl is ludicrous. It's insanity. He literally is everything you don't want in a Super Bowl quarterback. Like a turnover machine.
Yeah.
No way that team wins the Super Bowl with Jameis Winston. Just as I am going to be a hard seller on the Jameis Winston Saints. I'm not sure the Jameis, it's early. Free agency's not even over. The draft isn't over. I'm not sure the Saints make the playoffs with Jameis Winston.
Do the Bucs make the playoffs last year with Jameis Winston?
Here's what I'll say. I don't know, but I think that the roster improvements were good enough that a Jameis Winston, I think he was a 9-7 quarterback on that team as opposed to 7-9 a couple of years before. I think that their roster changes were worth two games, but his turnovers were worth two games. So I think they're a 9-7 team. Does 9-7 make the playoffs as a wild card last year in the NFC? I don't know.
Think about those first two games, those tough defensive, you can't turn the ball over, Washington and New Orleans games. No way Jameis Winston wins those games. Because he's doing exactly what you can't do and turn the ball over.
You're saying in the playoffs.
Yeah. I'm saying you put Jameis against the Washington football team. It's a close game, right?
Yeah.
But Brady's not turning the ball over. He's not doing much, but he's not turning it over. And the same way for the Saints game. He's not doing much, but he's not throwing three picks.
The Bears last year, what was their record? Were they 9-7?
I think they were 8-8.
The Bears were 8-8? The Bears
8-8 or 9-7.
Let's just put it this way. If the Bucs go 9-7 and get in that Bears 7 spot, they're not beating New Orleans in round one. If the Bears finish worse than the Rams, and they're in that sixth spot, they're not beating Seattle. Tampa was 5 last year. Let's say they're better than the Bears last year.
Bears were 8-8.
Okay, let's say they're 9-7. They're better than the Bears. They're worse than the Rams. They get Seattle on the road. No fucking way he wins that game.
You just can't turn the ball over.
I'm going to be a seller on the Saints, the Jameis Saints.
Is he starting?
That's what I think. I think it's if he wins the job out of camp.
Nothing is funnier to me than Jameis Winston defenders. I mean, you look at that jackass's Twitter.
I haven't. I haven't blocked.
I have like five people.
That aren't just like faceless trolls blocked. I guess technically he's a faceless troll.
It's like, dude, you can't be a Jesus freak and support a guy who's had numerous sexual assault / rape allegations.
Has he weighed in on the Deshaun Watson thing?
I don't know. I haven't looked at it.
I'm sure he is. If this was Jameis.
Did you see Jameis crying? I quote tweeted on Dirty Sports Twitter.
Oh, what was he crying about?
About what Drew Brees meant to him. It's so awkward and like so.
It's the W eating. It's just so performative.
It's exactly. You got to watch it. You're like, dude, are you trying to win an Oscar? Yeah. What are you doing? I do love the idea of him starting and the Saints taking a whole step back. Like, I love that.
Yeah.
That would be some fun hate watching.
Well, I don't know. Did I say this before or did I just think it? It's funny when I have a sports thought and I'm like, did I ever say that on the Dirty Sports? But like, and if he wasn't blocked and I wanted to go down a fucking like total disastrous rabbit hole with him, I would be like, if Jameis starts for the Saints and the Saints don't make the playoffs, it's the Jameis argument is fucking over, right?
Yeah.
If he takes over for Drew Brees, who was a shell of himself last year, and they still won the division, and they don't make the playoffs as a wild card this year, they don't make the playoffs this year. The argument, Jameis one of one, just to close up shop and burn the books, right?
He won't.
I know he won't, but I'm saying, like, I want him on the record right now. If he wasn't going to take me into, well, here's why the Saints aren't going to be as good as they've been. Like, that's what I think. But like, for all reasonable people, if Jameis doesn't win a play, if Jameis doesn't make the playoffs with this Saints team, we're not even. I mean, I already think the argument's over. But I'm just saying. Obviously, calls like this. No offense to the caller. I think it was a great call and a great question. But like, obviously, people are still, you know, sort of like, could he win if he had this roster? Like, if you go on the Saints team,
they have a great defense.
And you don't win, you don't make the playoffs?
Yeah. I agree. All right, 310-359-8365. Give us a ring. We'll get to some calls on Monday. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at The Dirty Sports. Drop an iTunes review. Even if you've left a review, leave another one. Update it. I'll send you two koozies. It's that easy. I got tons of koozies here at the house. Leave your Twitter, Instagram handle, and I'll send you those koozies.
At Joe Prano on Instagram and all other social media sites, at Fix Your Life on Twitter. I feel like I got a lot of my plugs in. I'm doing Josh Nelson's PB Backyard Show tomorrow. I just did his podcast, What's Your Price? It's available on Spotify for sure, because that's where I just looked it up. Drink Miller Lite. My special still on Amazon. Rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast. I don't know. All the things.
Yeah, you guys know what to do.
I'm on Cameo.
Guys, have a lovely weekend. Spring is here, baby. Let's do it up. We'll see you guys back on Monday. Stay safe.
And
stay
don't forget, smart. Condoms are for Deshaun Watson massages. I mean,
I was so smooth to end it. You just this is a throwback.
A little throwback. Also, you know, if you can't get a massage without, I mean, this isn't even a, this is like a point as well.
You're a little lit over there, fam. I see it.
I'm not lit. I've had two beers.
Okay.
I'm just having a great little Wednesday evening show with you, Andy.
All right. Let's get this bad boy done. All right, Dirtballs. Don't forget. Stay dirty.